Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So for our Old Testament reading, we need a little backstory. A long time ago in a kingdom far away, King Ahab, he married a woman by the name of Jezebel. She was not from Ahab's kingdom. Ahab's people, they worshipped Yahweh. And Jezebel's people, they worshipped Baal. And so Jezebel, she had all of this influence over Ahab. And so she had all of the prophets of Yahweh killed. And then she sets up the prophets of Baal in their place. And Elijah, who is a prophet of Yahweh, he managed to not be killed. And so he sets up this contest between him and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. See, the prophet Elijah wanted to convince people who the true identity of God was. And so he calls out the people and the prophets. He says, "How long will you go about limping with two different opinions? If Yahweh is God, then worship him. If Baal, then follow him." Y'all remember how that story turned out? Anybody? Yeah? The prophets of Baal are all shown to be fakes. And so then Ahab puts them all to death. The fake prophets are killed. So in our Old Testament reading today, the prophet Elijah, he has this moment of crisis after that event. Jezebel sends a message to Elijah. She says that he's going to be dead, just like all of the other prophets. And in a moment of fear and regret and self-loathing, he believes her message of death. And so he goes under a tree and he lays down and he says to God, "I want to die." And the reason he gives, "I am no better than my ancestors. I'm like my parents." So Elijah, he gets this message from Jezebel and he responds with this pity party and he falls asleep. I mean, we've all been there, right? Times when we want to retreat from the world, when we want to hide under the covers of our bed and sulk in our own misery of distaste for ourselves and our lives. Times when the world is gray and it seems like there's no hope. Times when we're not sure why we're even here and the question of whether anything really matters because we're just like our ancestors. And the thing is that God lets Elijah stay there for a minute. But then God refuses to let Elijah indulge in his wallowing when it starts to interfere with his own identity and purpose. So God sends him a message, and it's a different message than the one he gets from Jezebel. Through an angel, God says, "Hey, get up and eat." See, the angel is telling him to get out of bed, to get out of the self-pity, to get out of the wallowing, to get out of the way he's responding to Jezebel's message. See, God isn't putting up with Elijah's nihilism and his own interpretation of the situation. God isn't allowing him to fester in fear. God says, "Get up, get out of bed, eat something." See, because God is saying that life is worth living. Life is worth living, so put some food in your body so that you can carry on. God is saying that life is a gift. And you don't get to treat it like it's disposable because things didn't go the way you wanted. See, we are constantly receiving different and competing messages. Messages of death from the world and messages of life from God. So who are you going to listen to? Well, if we're honest, right? Well, he goes, well, sometimes I listen to the messages of death. Because we all do. I know I do. Sometimes I respond like Elijah. Put the blankets over my head. Crawl into bed. Wife has to check on me. But don't forget about God's message. God's message is stronger. God's message has power. God's message is alive when all we see is death. And see, in that moment, Elijah only felt death and God was over it. See, God has felt death too. And it took him 3 days to get out of the grave. So Elijah hears God's message. His spirit is renewed, and he gets up and he eats and he goes about the work to which God has called him, which in this very instance is raising up a successor, Elisha. Well, the Elijah story happens to all of us. We listen to messages of the world, not the messages of God, and so we need to be called back to God. In our gospel reading today, Jesus, he articulates what's going on with Elijah. See, Elijah needs to be drawn back to God like we all do. Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless they are drawn by the Father who sent me." And what that says is that if you're listening to the good news of the kingdom, if you are hearing about the love of God and the forgiveness of sin, if you are listening to the new life in a world of death, then in that very moment was ordained by God for you. Drawn is such a nice romantic word, isn't it? Like we picture somebody like drawing water. We picture, you know, drawing our loved one close to us. Very sentimental. But I think that the translators of the Bible were drawn in by the sentimentality of that. Because that's not what that word means at all. The first use of that word is in the Iliad by Homer. And it's a very famous passage where a dead body is being drawn. It means dragged across the street. What Jesus said was, no one can come to me unless they are dragged by the Father. I mean, totally different feel, right? No one can come to me, Jesus says, unless their dead body is being dragged to the Father. Because the truth is that sometimes we need to be dragged to the good news, don't we? We need to be dragged into new ways of living in the world. We need to be dragged into new mindsets. We need to be dragged into the very tomb in which Jesus dies so that we can share in his resurrection. Are you all familiar with the Footprints in the Sand poem? Y'all know that poem? For those of you that don't, it's a really heart-touching and romantic and sentimental poem. It's not bad. It goes like this. It says, "One night I had a dream that I was walking along the beach with my Lord, and across the dark sky flashed scenes of my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me, one to my Lord. And I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that at many times along my path, especially at the very lowest and the saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. And this really troubled me, and so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said you'd walk with me the whole way, but I noticed that during the saddest and the most troublesome times of my life, there were only one set of footprints. And I don't understand why. Why, when I need you the most, did you leave me?" And the Lord whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you. During those trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, that's when I carried you." I love that poem. It's so touching. It's so nice. But my favorite part of that poem is the comic strip maker who came along afterwards and did this. Jamie, the slide. There's no slide there? Well, that's unfortunate. That was the crescendo of my sermon, and there's no slide there. What it is, it's in the first panel, Jesus is talking to them, and it's the last line, "Son, that's where I carried you." And then Jesus, in the next panel of the slide, is saying, "And you see the groove right there? That's where I dragged you." I mean, yes, Jesus, he carries us. But I know when there's definite times where he's dragging me out of my self-loathing and my pain and the pity parties that I throw for myself. So where's Jesus dragging you? I think he's dragging you here. I think he's dragging you to right now. I mean, see, you're hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. God's plan is being fulfilled in this moment. See, God's dragging you to Sunday morning where you can hear God's word of grace and love and forgiveness. God's dragging you to the altar where you are fed the bread from heaven, Jesus Christ our Lord, with his body and his blood. Jesus is dragging you into a new way of living in the world. No one comes here unless they're dragged. And the good news is that God loves you so much that he draws you here. And if necessary, drags. And for me, there's great comfort in that because it means that it doesn't depend on my own ability or my own want. So friends, don't pay attention to the messengers of death in your life. Because you know the one who brings true life. Friends, may you have more times of walking with Jesus and being carried than dragged by him. But may you know that he will bring you to the place that you need to be, no matter what it takes. Amen. Please stand as we sing.